Now, yesterday, Volvo launched its plans for all cars released after 2019 to be at least part electric. First major manufacturer to signal the end of the internal combustion engine. Now, here's Volvo's chief executive officer, Håkan Samuelsson, explaining.
We are determined to be the first premium car maker to move our entire portfolio of vehicles into electrification. This is a clear commitment towards reducing our carbon footprint, as well as contributing to a better air quality in our cities. We are convinced that the future of Volvo is electric, and that's why we have stated the bold commitment to bring out 1 million twin-engine cars or all-electric cars on the roads till 2025.
Volvo, indeed. And that was Håkan Samuelsson explaining their rationale. On the line, the motoring editor with the Irish Independent, Eddie Cunningham. Eddie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, initially, you look at this at face value, you say this is very dramatic. Volvo's going all-electric, but it is sort of slowly, isn't it? Because it's not going all electric now.
No, it's not. And you're absolutely right, and it's a keen distinction. And I think maybe that distinction has been lost in the in the haze of publicity and talk that's been about it. But basically, I think, Pat, what's more symbolic of the way manufacturers in general are thinking and planning for the way ahead. We don't need to go back over the diesel debate again and all that, but diesel has if you like, concentrated minds on where things will be and how things are going to be over the next 5 to 10 years. What Volvo have done, I think, is they have kind of symbolically charged the whole situation and said electric is the future. And in doing so, I think, you know, it's not necessarily making a major departure because, I mean, the likes of Toyota, to be fair to them, have been ploughing the hybrid furrow for many years when it wasn't necessarily the populist or the most profitable thing to be doing.
Yeah.
But as you point out, this is an important sort of a perceptional change. I think electric in some shape or form as part of the cars of the future suddenly becomes not just sort of an ideal, but something that's now tangibly coming down the line.
Yeah. Now, the hybrid technology, it comes in a number of forms. There's the plug-in hybrid, whereby you can use your own plug in the wall to charge your car overnight, or you can use the free charging, which is still free at the moment.
Still free.
Yeah, to charge your car. That's the plug-in hybrid. Also the plug-in all-electric, like the Nissan Leaf.
Yes.
And then you have the hybrid, which uses fuel.
Has fuel and a battery pack on board to supplement your main engine. And Pat, like, the thing about this is, you know, to put it in some perspective, you know, we're not exactly knocking on or out of the way to buy electric cars. Like, the figures for the first 6 months of the year, according to the latest ones I have from SIMI, indicate just 374 in the first 6 months. Now, it's a 31% increase. By the same token, like, it is a small number in a market that's heading for 132,000 overall for the year. But of that 374, the Nissan Leaf would account for half, 182 or thereabouts, and Hyundai's Ioniq 163. The rest of them are all in small figures.
Yeah.
The hybrids, however, seem to be picking up quite substantially. Again, the numbers aren't exactly earth-shattering, Pat. There's 2,900 roughly so far this year.
Yeah, but I mean, a plug-in
78% increase.
The plug-in hybrid, whereby if you're doing, say, the local school run and going to the shopping or whatever, or going to a place of work that's near enough, you plug in, you do your journey. You have maybe a tank full of petrol, which you never access.
Yeah.
You keep on topping up all the time using the electricity.
Yeah.
I saw, I think it was Mitsubishi had this thing for their Outlander PHEV, where they showed a family, it's one of their marketing things, where they showed a family who still had the same tank of petrol as the day they bought it, because they constantly plugged in and charged.
Yeah, well, that's I think, you know, what you've done there is you've pinpointed commitment. These people are committed to doing exactly what you were saying. But let me tell you, and not that doesn't apply to everybody. And I think plug-in hybrids, while they get 2,500 VRT relief and up to 7,500 overall when you add in a 5,000 SAAI grant, you don't necessarily have to do what you're saying to get a cheaper car and to get lower tax. So there's an area there. But the plug-in hybrid, I think, is going to be the indicator going forward in many respects, Pat. It was just how committed we are to turning over to electric. Because if the family you mentioned can do that, then we can all do it. It just takes a bit of commitment to do it, and a bit of energy to do it.
The hybrid gets over the idea of range anxiety. The pure electric still inflicts range anxiety because, you know, you're wondering. I know the Nissan Leaf promises a reasonably good range.
It does. The Renault Zoe, the new one now, is doing. I've actually, you know, what they made me do, Pat, was they made me block off what was left in the battery pack and just drive it like a normal car. And in my case, that wouldn't be what you would call the most conservative of driving.
Yeah.
And I still got 310 kilometers
from the Zoe.
On the Zoe, that's the new one that's just landed here now. Yeah.
That's pretty good. And you didn't hold your horses.
No, I didn't. I said there was no point in just doing it for the sake of doing it and being conscious of it. And by blotting out what was left and by blotting out my inability to know how I was doing, I think it mitigated against me trying to be conservative in my driving. So I drove quite fast up mountain roads, twisted here, there and everywhere. And I did genuinely get that. I mean, when we did our computations at the end, what was left in the battery and therefore knew what we covered, which was 300 kilometers, which is a reasonable amount. Teslas, which have just gone on sale in Ireland, some of them have claimed ranges of up to 630
kilometers. But the Tesla battery pack is absolutely enormous.
It's
it occupies the floor all the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the Tesla. I've seen the manufacturing process. It's like two girders and a battery pack between them, giving the car great solidity. But it's a massive power pack.
Certainly pay for the longevity of journey. There's no question about that.
Yeah. I'm wondering, and it's not a question that you perhaps would be able to answer. I've been looking for news on a breakthrough in, I think it was Singapore, University of Singapore, where a battery would be 70% charged in 5 minutes. It's only done in the lab. It's gel technology. Silicon dioxide is the fundamental technology. A full charge in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, that would change the face of things because you could just pull into your service station, plug in, go off and have a coffee, and off you go again with a full battery.
Yeah. And that's a little bit off path, but as an interim measure, I recently tested inductive charging where you actually drive your car, you come home at evening, there's a little grid on your driveway or whatever, and you just park over that, and you forget about it. You have no cables, no plugging.
Well, it's the way I charge my phone at the moment. So, you know, it'll be great. Which manufacturer is offering that?
Funnily enough, two of the great German rivals have combined resources to do that, and it should be here in the next. Actually, it should be here quite soon. At BMW and Mercedes have pooled their research and production resources to.
So you just drive in over grid. It'll tell you
a little square grid, a little elongated.
Yeah. Well, and it'll tell you when you're bang on, I presume.
There's a little almost like the sights in a rifle or pat or something like that. A little green circle, and when you're exactly correctly over it, that's it. Out of your car. Off with you, forget about it. You don't have, if it's raining, you make your dash to the front door. If you want to talk to your next door neighbor, you don't have to go to the back and take out the plug.
And with some of the technologies that BMW and Mercedes offer, you just get out of the car and it'll sort itself out. It'll find.
That's right. This will cost about 1,100, 1,200 euro. Best guess scenario. That's as strong as I could push them on it when I was doing it, Pat. But I think it's that sort of area where maybe the government might step in and say, you know what, we'll encourage greater use and more assured use of electric cars by maybe knocking the VAT off this or something like that.
Yeah.
I think we need to see some incentives coming down the line in addition to the ones we have.
There's a huge appetite, Eddie, for electric cars. I mean, you talk to people and it's just that they're afraid to jump. If they're buying a new car, they'd love to go electric because they're quiet. They're mechanically much less complicated than the internal combustion engine.
Far fewer moving parts, for sure.
Easy to maintain,
easier to maintain. But, you know, to come back to what you were saying, people are still afraid, what if I have to go from Dublin to Mayo, yeah, and get a call at 10 o'clock at night, a family emergency or whatever else. And that's where I think, you know, people meet, we need to be realistic. You know,
and what happens if I forget to plug in? You know, you rush in, you're carrying a bag of groceries. You, with the induction charging, fair enough, you just drive over the pad and off you go. But if you have to plug in, you forget, and you wake up the next morning, time to go to work. Forgot to charge the bloody thing.
I think it's a taxi pad or the bus.
Yeah. Anyway, Eddie, loads of comments coming in. People are saying, I drive M9 to M7 from Athy to Dublin City every day. Is electric suitable? Based on what you say, the Zoe would be fine.
Yeah, it would.
The Leaf would be fine?
Yes. Yeah, it would be indeed. There's no reason, and the Hyundai and Ioniq would probably do it as well. But there's no reason people can't commute. And the funny thing about it is, according to research I read recently, Pat, it's the likes of people living in Wicklow and Clare, would you believe, who have the highest commute and are most suitable for electric cars because they're commuting to work in other counties, but it's within the 40 to 50 to 60, 70 trip each way, kilometres each way. So there's probably no one that's going to be coming come on firms as well, Pat, to have charging points either in their local garages or whatever or nearby. Like if you can drive a car and that you only have to charge, you know, maybe twice or three times a week, and if you add in the inductive charging I was mentioning there, and it's all a little bit futuristic maybe now, but all of a sudden electric car is a different proposition. And I think that's what kind of Volvo have kind of nudged forward a bit. They've sort of made it that it's going to be at the centre of things from now on rather than peripheral. And that can only lead to further progress.
Very good. Motoring editor with the Irish Independent, Eddie Cunningham. Thank you very much indeed. We go next live to Mosul in Iraq.